other side of the town. After the usual lining up, in the ship's dining room, which took about an hour, we came out on deck and waited to be taken ashore on a large, flat-bottomed pilot boat. Our many duffel bags were loaded wholesale on big, broad nets and were hoisted out by the bow booms and tackles onto the boat. Now, we said our goodbyes to the many crew members whom we'd made friends with during the course of the journey, in particular my toes, after done so much at the time of the sea. And we boarded the boat, cross that off. When we reached the dock, it was already dark. We took our bags and carried them a short distance into the local custom house and waited to have them opened and inspected. While we were waiting, talked to some of the sailors, citizens of the town standing by. Pictures of the bombing and the destruction of Plymouth by the Nazis during the war. When we boarded the train an hour or so to London, an hour or so later, we saw plenty. Buildings were broken in from the top with only their walls and the jutting angle. Destruction of this kind, but it was uneventful. At the train was at the various stops made, and the soldiers and sailors, a number of them American, boarded the train and stood in the corridors until we reached Paragraph. We got into London early the following morning at Paddington Station. At first sight and impression, London aspect, tired aspect. Later, more city was seen, more contact had with the people. This tiredness resolved itself into a noticeable and ill-veiled near exhaustion. The people, the buildings, all the aspects of the city showed the effects of the long ordeal that they had been through and which was now just over. A few days later, after we had all absorbed ourselves into the life of the city, a friend of mine, a Salvadoranian doctor by the name of Juan Allwood, made this comment. He said that he felt a certain feeling of embarrassment that the English showed. Embarrassment that came as a result of their having stood in the face of the fire of this war for so long, and having stood so saved the world from one of its greatest calamities. And yet, now that the war was over, and that they had played such a large part in the saving of the world from what would have overtaken it if they had not stood as firmly as they had, that they were not the victors in the complete sense, that their former position as leaders or as one of the great powers of the world had been considerably changed, and that in their place other nations who had played a large, if not larger, material part in the winning of the war, but had not suffered so directly as they had on their home territory, had taken their place as the leading power of the world. It was as if though having made this great sacrifice and won the victory, they had come out in a secondary position, a position which their history and their past position in the world had not prepared them for to accept. But they were, though victors, not sure of their position in the world, and that the present state of things, destruction of their cities, the limitations in the means of life which they were forced to continue to undergo did not indicate the easy future that victors are accustomed to have. But the future years would bring a continuation of many of the sacrifices which they were already extremely weary of. Paragraph. I had the feeling that this shabbiness, this tiredness of London was so unlike the confident, well-dressed impression that the British Broadcasting Company had been so successful in giving the world through its incomparable broadcasts, not only during the war, but now. I remembered that in South America, when one wanted to have a very clear account of the news, and perhaps the most reliably factual account, one always turned to the BBC to receive it, rather than to other stations, even those in the United States. This impression continued and was still going on, but it did not correspond to the mood and the appearance of London and the beat up character of the semi-destroyed city itself. Paragraph. 3/4 of a year later, when I was to visit London again, there was an almost complete change in these and other aspects, as though the Londoners themselves had come a long way back on the road to recovery. At this impression that the British Broadcasting Company broadcast gave was a true reflection of the spirit of that indomitable people, and that what it did not correspond to in the appearances of the immediate post-war was not the true character or the spirit of the people themselves, which those broadcasts did truly reflect. Paragraph. London, time of breathtaking activity and confusion as far as the UNRWA program was concerned. 150 of us had landed to be processed and prepared for shipment into Germany or other parts of Europe, and the fact that such a large group arrived at one time, the resources of the UNRWA organization there to the breaking point. There was great confusion and loss of time as a reorganization, which was further complicated by the fact that so many of these new recruits were undisciplined in the ways of the organization, of the way that they should have been in preparation for their work overseas, and their individual desires came out more than their individual desire to the group. I, for one, was not entirely blameless in this and took advantage of my opportunities to go sightseeing not only in London but in the countryside. And in the space of the 3 weeks that I was there, I made tours of London, visited all the places that I'd wanted to see in the years that I had not been there, and in addition took a long weekend trip to Scotland.
We had the advantages of wonderful weather,
and in the company of two other boys, me and another, the son of an UNRWA employee stationed in London, climbed three of the largest mountains in North Scotland, in the highest mountain in England. London was also the scene of a great political maneuvering on the part of many new employees who wanted to see if they could get to other missions than the German DP operation. And our days there were marked by various people doing all that they could to pull wires to get themselves into spots which they'd look forward to for some time, even though they'd been recruited primarily for the DP operations. This of the new, the fact that none of the in London or the new have been given a profound or thorough enough briefing in the responsibilities and obligations of an international civil service. I, for one, would have liked to have seen a much longer period of training, whereby everyone could have been given a firm sense of the first international civil service organization that under their conduct was known, and which would have known their conduct under such circumstances a lot more satisfactory. Paragraph. From the end of the first week on, people began to move out to the continent. My time came after three weeks, and on the 13th of September, a group of employees destined for the German operation.